Welcome back to Funtown, everybody. It's Tuesday for us. It's Wednesday for you. I'm Todd McComas. I'm here with basically all my friends that live here. Jessica Alsman, Lady of Radio. How are you?
Hello. Good. How are you guys?
Great. Jeff Oske, comedian extraordinaire and behind the scenes whiz at the Bob and Tom Show.
Yeah. I felt like one today. I was whizzing all over everyone's hopes and dreams.
Oh, no. Is that what you guys were talking about before I popped in here? Jeff dropping the ball?
Yeah, Austin. He had kind of an IT upgrade to his system there without any real training. And what happened there, Oskay? Just unplugged the wrong box?
Well, we have a gigantic server room, which holds not only all of Bob and Tom stuff, it also holds like seven other stations or how many ever come out of this. Like, it's a gigantic server room, like, and I don't know what, I know what one box in the entire room does. And there's, let's say, 200 boxes.
It's a lot of boxes.
It's a lot of boxes. Big server
room. And that's about what you know about them, right? They're box shaped, and that's where your knowledge on what's going on.
Rectangle. They all fit in a rack.
And they're plugged in?
They are all plugged in.
They're all on electricity.
I have to unplug my box, and I miscount how many boxes up my box is, and I accidentally unplug a box that I don't know what it does. But it's not my box, and it's for the other side of the radio.
Does it look like your box?
Well, from the back, Austin, they all look like my box.
They all have cables coming out.
Yeah, it's all got a shit ton of cables coming out, and I don't know what any of it is. So
you're like a dog. You can't recognize things if you see them from behind.
It is a scary room with all the freaking cords, though. They're labeled. But I don't know what they're labeled as. Like, oh, this one obviously goes to this microphone three doors down. It's like, whatever.
Hey, Jeff.
But, yeah.
In all your poking around, did you ever see a label that said Jeff's box at all? Just a suggestion.
No, but I think you need to add a sticker to that one.
Yes, I would get you a big, giant orange sticker and slap it on the back of that thing. My box.
It's Jeff's the box. Only box I'm allowed to touch, and I touched a box that I had no idea what it did. And so I go running in. As I come back around, I go, well, my box still looks the same, but the box right below it is resetting. I wonder what's up with that. And then I went running into the producer's office and I go, I unplugged the wrong fucking box. And he goes, I don't know anything about the fucking boxes. So then I had to call my boss because I call him and I go, unplugged the wrong fucking box. And he goes, what box did you unplug? And I go, the blah, blah, blah box. And he goes, oh, that's the wrong fucking box. You should never unplug that box. And I'm like, what the fuck do I do? Do I go to engineering? And he goes, oh, they aren't there because of the coronavirus. They're at home.
Oh, man.
He goes, I got to call Eddie, and just hangs up on me. Like that's how important this box was. And I'm like, oh, my God, I think I just knocked out radio to the world.
Meanwhile, I just lost my job.
So
everyone's saying, hey, I can't hear this.
That's what's even funnier. That was a completely separate incident.
Oh my gosh.
I also did actually knock out audio to our VIP and our YouTube feed myself from my own room without unplugging anything, just hitting the wrong box.
I killed it today.
You're like a caveman, Mr. Magoo. You know that, Jeff? And I feel like the more you bumble, the more people enjoy it.
The funny thing is, Austin, I'm on 99.99% of the time. Like, I am so good at my job, but today went so badly that it just brought me down to a 50. I'm a C average.
Sometimes you just have those days, man. Yeah, you just have those days where you can't do anything fucking right. Dude, I remember when I worked for Pat and he first got the new studio with all the setups, and then DAZN had equipment in there, Westwood One had equipment in there, whatever. And he used to travel, and I wasn't on the travel squad. I stayed down to kind of hold down the fort. So it'd be like me and Bailey, the only people there, everybody else in Louisiana or something. And then one day, nothing was working. Like, we had to fire shit up in a certain sequence or whatever, nothing working. So I call DAZN, I call Westwood One. I'm like, all right, what do I do? I don't want to fuck up each other's boxes or whatever. And I mean, I almost got to the, it felt like I was diffusing a bomb, because I'm like, this entire operation is going to hinge on whether or not I can figure out what boxes they're fucking talking about and turn them back on in the right order, make sure all the right lights are on. And somehow it happened, probably because my son Bailey was there.
Were you backup, just listening with sweat, trying to make that decision?
I was a nervous wreck. I'm like, oh my God, if this show doesn't happen, I'm fucked. I'm not an IT guy at all. And that shit, the fact that they, like my buddy does it, and he can put out blueprints and shit and draw up how the room's going to go ahead of time and what feeds what or whatever, that's a different kind of brain. Mm-hmm. That's like a NASA brain.
That's an Eddie brain that Jeff brought up.
Yeah.
He's just, I don't even get it. But it is fun to watch the IT guys when they have to fix something, like a Bailey or an Eddie, or even you and Spangle, Oscar. You just run around and you're so serious, like, what you got to fix and get it done. If I reset the wrong box, I would just be like, ah, and just freak out and not even know what to do. And I would just be running around to everyone going, I reset the wrong box. I reset the wrong box. I'm like, well, do something. I'm like, I don't know. I would just freak out. Yeah. So you guys are usually moving with a purpose, though. And, you know, head down, just go, go, go.
Yeah. I just start smacking stuff like, like a caveman.
Did that work?
You know how in movies sometimes, like, a guy, it's not his job, but he's the only guy there with the closest qualifications to the job. Like say it was a bomb and your group of friends, the one guy's an IT guy, you have to pick him to try to disarm the bomb. Like, there's no choice, right? Like, you're going to have to figure it out.
At the most, he might have clipped some cables before. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Wires. Mm-hmm.
I'm going to pick IT guy over fucking, you know, car buffer outer guy.
Right.
Yeah.
Like,
the car dent.
No, yeah.
Your car dent friend, he's a cool dude. Eric's a great hang, but he's not diffusing this bomb.
Now, IT if guy I want to blow some though. Shit up,
true.
I get the car buffer guy.
Yeah.
He has guns and some thermite or whatever you use to blow shit up.
Or maybe meet the guy that made this bomb. Yeah. Who's this bomb guy? He sounds interesting.
All right. If the bomb diffusion doesn't work, then Jared, it's your turn to step in as drywall finisher because we have to redo this whole room. Nobody noticed.
All right. I think we need to start thinking about everyone's after explosion skill sets.
Oh my gosh,
dude, I had a hell of a week. I've enjoyed myself. I kind of took it easy, and today I had to get back in the flow, like, all right, gotta do video editing again and stuff, no more like shedcation that I was taking. So I took me a minute to wrap my head around it. I got in there and I'm just like, what in the fuck am I looking at? Like, it was like I'd forgotten everything. And I'm just using iMovie. Like, I'm not even using anything complicated. It took me a good, like, 10 minutes to, where's that button at again? Fuck. I mean, I have the worst brain in the world. It's probably coming with age and mixed with all the hallucinogens and natural drugs that I've been taking.
Have you done more mushrooms since?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Awesome.
Tell us.
I like them a lot.
Yeah, they're a lot of fun.
It's the perfect thing. It's the perfect, perfect thing to enhance your experience. I mean, it's the best drug in the world. I didn't want to call it a drug because I feel like it's just kind of like Zoloft, but way better. You know, it just puts you in a good ass mood. I don't know. I really like it. I still haven't really gone overboard to get the like hallucinogenic effect.
Mm-hmm.
It's more just, lights are brighter and colors are more cool and sounds are more sharp and shit like that. But
yeah,
one of these days I'm going to cross that line, see if I can make some shit start showing up.
nah, just stay where you're at. Have fun. You don't need to push the limits.
Yeah. I think I have a Kinect for it. So
do you,
I've never really needed to Kinect for anything before.
Do you feel better about life and stuff the next day? Like, how do you feel the next day after?
I feel a little foggy for the first hour after I get up, like kind of unsettled. Like I can't really focus. I drink probably 3 cups of coffee and I just really sit down and get in my phone and make myself focus on some shit for a little bit. And then I kind of come out of it, but no, don't feel bad. Is that part of the side effect? Is it
like, no, I'm feeling like, how do you feel mentally about the world or about your prospect at life? Like, not physically, but like, how do you feel spiritually the next day?
I feel 1,000 times more spiritual than I did pre-mushroom experience. Like, that's probably one of the best things. I don't know. But maybe
religiously spiritual or just like connected to the cosmic field?
Nature and the cosmic field, yeah. And just, everybody love everybody kind of, mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Yeah, I think so. With the stuff's going on in the world right now, it's brought me even like farther away from cop me, which is, I think, good, you know?
Yeah.
Like, so I'm looking at it a whole different way. Yeah. Dude, what if everybody was on them all the time? What if we put it in the water? I think everybody would just get along famously. I mean,
Think that's what manna in the Bible was.
Oh, really?
A hallucinogen, like probably mushrooms or something similar. Because they talk about it having like this euphoric rejuvenating effect kind of vibe, depending on how you want to look at it. But it's supposed to be this. Some people say it sustains you or it just uplifts your spirit. It's religion. So everyone's got an angle on it. But
sure. But that makes so much sense.
Yeah.
I mean, I want to have a big like hug meeting. You know, in the middle of it.
Well, don't do that now. Save the hug meeting for next summer.
All right. Let's everybody gather downtown like what we're doing. Let's just get in a big hug circle. And mm-hmm. then, yeah, I feel like if it was in the water, something that was just given to the masses, there might be no more murders. I really do. I don't know how you could ever murder somebody while on mushrooms.
Well, maybe because you think they're a zombie dragon, maybe, if you go too far.
There's a giant June bug trying to eat me.
That's true.
That'd be bad.
Or you think that your ex-girlfriend's trying to kill you.
Yeah.
You kill her.
I will say this. Whoever wrote the movie Starship Troopers is definitely on mushrooms.
Have you watched that?
I watched it on mushrooms, and I'm like, this guy was totally on mushrooms, and he wrote that thing. This is the perfect movie.
If it's for everybody, but it's like floated up to the top of Netflix. People are checking out Starship Troopers. It's a great movie.
It's a cult classic.
Yeah.
I mean, it has all the elements of a great, like, B movie.
God, and talk about just a lot of 90s hard bodies. You know what I mean? Like, they really just packed in the Beef Boys in the Bombshells.
Yeah.
From 91 to 99, they were all there. It was crazy. You couldn't put that lineup on TV today. They'd ban it.
No,
you could launch a whole streaming service off of that lineup. You could.
What is this show? Is it a show or a movie?
It's a movie. You got to watch it. There's two or three of them. Just watch the first one. The first one is definitely a classic. Yeah. They basically go to outer space and fight giant insects. And it's awesome. So there's like a space force. The military now is a space force. And they, you know, you sign up, you go through your training and boom, you're either a pilot or a grunt or whatever. And then so it follows this group of friends. They all got different assignments and they get shot in outer space and they fight giant insects.
And Jeff, here's what we're talking about. We're talking about Doogie Howser, Neil Patrick Harris. He's in this.
Love it.
One of the girls from Wild Things. Denise Richards.
Denise Richards. In it.
That's my white trash go-to.
And then I don't think they could afford any of the 90210 crowd, but we're talking Melrose Place, all those side hustle shows like that, those tertiary 90210s, they got all the heavy hitters from them. They got this one chick that was in everything. What is that? The girl with the curly hair that likes the guy, plays football with him.
Yeah.
That girl was in a ton of stuff. Yeah, what's her name?
I mean, when you recognize so many faces. I couldn't even put them all down.
Her name's Dina.
Yeah. It's a great movie. I mean,
something. God,
it sounds horrible.
Bunch of good looking people in their underwear in a locker room, put on spacesuits, go fight giant insects. I mean, what else do you want?
Casper Van Dien.
Is there an Ian Ziering?
He is not in it. He's 90210 though. Jeff, they didn't.
Yeah, that was probably above budget.
Wasn't he in Sharknado?
Mm-hmm. Well, but this was before
after his fall off. That was was like during his prime. Yeah, you weren't going to get him during that.
15 years later.
Yeah, this is when he hadn't worked in a while, but was still talking, telling people he's got stuff coming down the pipeline. So he didn't take Starship Troopers.
Who is the lady from Showgirls?
Elizabeth Berkley.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, so I went to one of those fests down. You know, like Gen Pop or
Popcon or
Pop Fun or
mm-hmm.
I don't know, whatever they're called. And me and Maggie are walking through, and that, what's her name again?
Elizabeth Berkley.
Yeah, she's just like sitting at a table, like with like a person, and like there's like a sign, like autograph, you know, this much money. And me and Maggie are like a foot away from her, and I'm like, it's that Saved by the Bell chick, and now she's like sitting at a fucking card table in Indianapolis on a Saturday afternoon, like totally unaware that I'm within just being the biggest asshole I could. Like, I was like starstruck, and I couldn't believe that's where her life was now. Like,
this you're is there weird. Too, asshole.
Like, is it A Day to the Dead, though, or something?
To me, I thought she was a bigger actress until I saw her sitting at that table. It's like, even Elvira's behind the curtain.
Yeah.
Like you're just card table people now. Like, you sign, like, I can sit in your lap for $15. Like,
wait,
like,
that's how
you were on Saved by the Bell, and now I can get a Polaroid with you for $40, not 15. I'm sorry, I undersold 40? It was like $40. You could get your picture with her, I think.
Yeah, that sounds about right. What a fall from grace.
This
Indianapolis, Indiana, on a Saturday afternoon. At
there were a lot of cool PM. People there, though, that weren't necessarily behind a curtain.
What do you mean you haven't? Imagine if you retired 20 years ago and people still paid $40 just to take a Polaroid with you. She's doing better than any of us.
Still a pretty good life.
She did better that day than I do in a year. Let's be honest.
She's murdering.
Was her booth next to the world's smallest woman? The woman that was on American Horror Story Freak Show?
Oh, I don't know.
The same year? And then you see her and you're like,
past year.
That might have been 2 years ago.
Like a little booth?
It was a regular booth. She stood on top of the table.
Oh, she stood on the table?
Yeah, with her person. I forget. I think, oh my gosh. I couldn't stop looking.
I could see if she came to your house, you'd be mad if she stood on your table because she had her shoes on, but you wouldn't feel like you could say anything.
No, I'd be like, oh, you're right by my lamp.
Yeah.
Well, this way I won't step on you. So, yeah, approved.
How tall is she? How tall is the?
I have to find it. I'm not even sure. It's really small.
She's officially the world's.
I don't know if it's the smallest. Woman. It's damn near close. Let's see.
That's creepy.
My thing is, like, I thought Elizabeth Hurley or whatever, like, even if she's making $20,000 a day, which good for her, I have no problem with her, but like, I had her up on this huge pedestal, and then it wasn't until that I saw that I was like, oh, wow.
Yeah, once that mystique is gone, it's like,
no. I don't think I met Jeff until like 2012, maybe. And so I'm not sure, but I have to ask, did you happen to go into a coma around 1996 and wake up right around 2010? Like, why do you think Elizabeth Shue, what was she doing?
Elizabeth Shue. Hey, don't badmouth Elizabeth Shue.
Sorry.
She had a big comeback.
No, you're right. You're right. I'm sorry to insult the goddess of the 80s. I didn't mean to do that. Elizabeth Berkley. She wasn't doing anything.
She had Showgirls shortly after.
Household name.
She did First Wives Club.
Oh, yeah. Forgot about
that. Was she in that?
She played the 17-year-old or 16-year-old that dates one of the Goldie Hawn's ex-husband.
Yeah.
She's 17 or 16, Bill. Something like that.
Wow.
Anyway. Oh, Ma Petite was her name on American Horror Story Freak Show. And her real name is something I cannot pronounce. I'm sorry. Giotti Amji. But she is 2 feet tall and 3/4 inches. So almost 2 feet, 1 inch.
Wow.
Whoa.
I mean, that's it's tiny. not like short. Yeah, it's like.
Because I remember on the American Horror Story, I thought, well, they got a really, you know, short person. And then they've done some kind of camera tricks to make her incredibly small. She's really only 2 foot tall.
Does
she play? Because I only saw a few episodes of the first season and there's like a little thing in the basement. Is that her?
No, okay. No.
I mean, that's a doll size.
I saw her in the bathroom and she stood on the sink. When she was, and I didn't realize what was going on.
Did you fill it for her so she could swim laps?
I was just like looking and not looking.
Jesus.
I love the shit you blew me over hunchbacks and monstrous hunchbacks at that is what I referenced. And now here you are, you're going all in on little person doing laps. In a sink, you fucking monster. I can't believe you, you hypocrite monster. I'm sorry, Jeff. I didn't mean to interrupt, but I can't believe Todd right now. It was like, do you want to rattle off any more before we move on?
No, that's it. That's all I got. Did you get her autograph or get your picture taken with her?
I didn't want to pay. I considered it. I think that's
something I would have to have done.
It was regardless 30 of the or 40. Amount.
I would have saved all my money just for that. No that popcorn, bad, nothing. Yeah. Yeah. That would have been incredible. Just to watch her with that Sharpie, like with two hands. Just.
I know. So small.
Will you stand on my shoulder and just repeat what I say and when I would do a video?
She'll probably like, get out of my line. I don't need this crap. I'm a thespian.
Just kicks you in the teeth.
Cleared $2.7 million last year. Oh, get away from my table. Yeah.
I'm fucking famous, you asshole.
I don't leave until the stack of money is taller than me. When the money hits 2'1", mama packs up shop. Let's go.
She probably does.
She probably leaves with a stack of money taller than her. That's insane.
She probably does. I mean, you think about if people are paying in cash, it wouldn't take long to stack 2 feet. She could make a throne out of her cash and just said, I would. And I would just sit on a throne of cash as people walk by.
Keep walking. Need more money.
Keep walking.
Oh, he looks like he needs some money.
I tell you what, I would get excited for seeing that for sure. And everybody needs more excitement. That's why I'm going to introduce the world to Blue Chew. This episode is sponsored by Blue Chew. Let's talk about something we could all use more of right now. Sex. Right? Am I right?
Yeah.
Great sex. Guys, if you could increase your performance and then get the extra confidence in bed to feel like a champion each and every night, would you do it?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you have to. I'll ask the same question to you, Jess. Donnie could perform like a champion every single night, and I don't know what his performance is like. I'm just saying guys are typically, you might have a bad game every now and then.
Don looks great, but I bet he's regionals at best. He's not champion.
I mean, he goes 110, but if he could go 111, you better believe. Oh,
there you go. Then you need to get to BlueChew.com. That's blue, like the color blue. Blue Chew brings you the first chewable with the same FDA-approved active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis. You can take them anytime, day or night, even on a full stomach. And since they're chewable, they work up to twice as fast as a pill, so you can be ready whenever an opportunity arises. That's my thing. You know, you reach a certain age, it's like, you can't surprise me. Let's work into it a little bit. You can't just drop your pants, turn around, and like, let's go. I'll be like, hey, hang on a second. I got to stretch a little bit. I got to, you know, get worked up. Can't just jump right into it. But with Blue Chew, I could.
Look who's Mr. Foreplay all of a sudden.
Blue Chew is made right here in the good old USA. It's prescribed online by licensed physicians, so you don't have to go to the doctor or wait in some dumb line. It's even cheaper than a pharmacy, and they prepare and ship it to you right to your door in a discreet package, by the way. No awkwardness, and you don't need to leave your house. If you could benefit from more confidence where it counts, Blue Chew is the fast and easy way to enhance your performance. Right now, we got a special deal just for our listeners. Visit BlueChew, BlueChew.com and get your first shipment free when you use our special promo code FUNTOWN. Just pay $5 shipping. Again, that's BlueChew.com, promo code FUNTOWN, and try it for free. BlueChew is the better, cheaper, faster choice, and we thank them for sponsoring this podcast. Remember, when you support our sponsors, you help make this podcast possible. So please be sure to use our promo code FUNTOWN at BlueChew.com. There's no reason for every listener we have to not try this product.
Now, Todd, can I opt in to get very, very obvious packaging for mine if I want to order it? If I just want to let people know that I'm running the Blue Chew and that if my yard looks like shit, you probably know what I'm inside doing, you know? Just made his yard in 2 weeks. I wonder what he's doing.
The neighbors are all like, Austin got his Blue Chew. We're not going to see him.
Box this week.
Yeah. He's not making euchre tonight.
Yeah. That's how you can wrap up a game real quick. Come on, guys. Let's get this going. I'm going to take this Blue Chew. We got 15 minutes before.
What a great product.
I'm like, is that table talk? Are you trying to call it?
Yeah, exactly.
Hey, Jess came over with the Don and hung out at the bar.
Yeah. I did, and I talked Marnie's face off the next day. I was like, I hope she doesn't hate me, Donnie.
I was talking to Donnie, so I wasn't paying attention. But if I had to lay money on it, there's no way you out-talked her. You might have tied. I've never seen anyone beat her in talking, so don't feel bad. You probably didn't realize she was talking every bit as much.
Kindred spirits. And then I didn't realize I was getting hammered drunk until the first time I went to go to the restroom. And I was like, whoa, hello, hallway. And then I think Donnie could tell and he's like, uh-oh. Yeah. And then it's like, one more, let's do this. And then by the time I got home, I was like, oh God.
Well, yeah, you were drinking nothing but bourbon the whole time.
Oh.
Just on the rocks.
Just bourbon, guys.
Everybody else, we would do margaritas and beer or whatever, and she's just hammering bourbon on the rocks. So
I'm like, let me tell you something, Marnie. I love your hair. I was getting flushed.
You got to keep rolling through bourbons, though, because just one, like two fingers of bourbon will put you down like a wild elephant being captured.
It does me, and I don't get like a warning, you know? Like there's nothing to tell my body, ooh, maybe skip around, you know? It just hits me like a wall, and before you know it, I'm just like, fuck it. Let me tell you what I think, you know? And you don't, nobody needs that.
Well, I had that peanut butter bourbon. What was it? Screwball?
Screwball.
That was you guys peanut butter bourbon?
It's a peanut butter whiskey.
Whiskey. You don't mess with bourbon.
Whiskey? Peanut butter?
Yes.
Is it good?
It's delicious. It's almost too sweet, though. Like, okay. After one glass, you're like,
is it just like nutty?
No, it's peanut buttery. It's sweet. I mean, it's like Fireball sweet, but more subtle, a little more subtle.
But it's not nutty.
No. It's more like. The aftertaste of eating a Reese's cup.
Oh, it's like a liqueur.
Yeah.
So would you shoot it?
That's what I do. I mean, I usually keep cold it shooter? In the freezer. So it's ice cold. And then you just pour cold shooters in them.
Okay.
Now, do you have a Fireball or Jägermeister chiller on the new bar?
No, but I'm getting a Jägermeister chiller for sure, because I love me some Jägermeister.
Wow.
Me too.
I keep that it in the fridge.
Generational thing. You guys are where Jäger.
Oh, it. Yeah. My grandfather would be super pissed.
Yeah.
Mr. Auschahauschkanowski would not approve of Jägermeister at all. Would not be a fan.
Because it's German?
Yeah. Yeah. Not a fan.
Jäger just takes me to a bad
Jeffrey,
place.
We talked about this. I'm very disappointed, Jeffrey.
I tell you who can put down some Jägermeister. Rich Reagans. He came up when Sean left. Richie came for 2 days just to relax and enjoy the bar, because he left like before construction was completely done. So all he knew was misery. And so I was like, come up and spend 2 days and we'll just hang out and do nothing, and but cook and drink and hang out. So he did. And that dude, I watched him drink an entire bottle of Jäger one night. And we were doing other shit too, but he drinks it on the rocks. He just pours a tall ass rocks glass and just drinks it like it's nothing. An entire bottle. One time, this is the first weekend I hung Jäger. Out with Richie. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think I'd ever done Jäger in my life. And then I was, you know, obviously a young open micer. Richie was, you know, a good headliner. Then he comes to Morty's Comedy Club and we're hanging out at Chris Bowers' house all weekend. It was summertime. He had the pool going on, and Richie and I just hit it off like gangbusters. We're just two hillbillies, you know, close to the same age. And he's drinking Jäger all the time. And I'm like, you know, you get fascinated with headliners. You're like, oh my God, they're so good, you know. And he's drinking while he's on stage. He's drinking Jägermeister on the rocks. I'm like, I'm going to start doing that. So we party all day. I mean, an entire day of drinking at Chris Bauer's house, go to his show. I'm so drunk. I sat on a stool outside the green room, just like leaning up against the wall. Richie's on stage and I pass out and fall face first out of the stool, interrupt the whole show, just pass out on the floor, face first. Richie drank every bit I did, drink for drink, made fun of me for 5 minutes and did another 50. And fucking killed it. And I'm like, oh, that's the difference.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Yeah, he can handle his Jäger.
I just can't imagine a rocks glass of Jäger. That's like just down in a bunch of cough syrup.
I know. Dude, I like it now, though, too.
That was my thing
yeah.
for a while. Then I started getting gut rot and like backed off. Like, the bar I hung out with... the bartender, I was at his wedding, so we did a lot of Jäger, and it got to the point where, yeah, I just get it on the rocks and just drink straight. And now I'll drink Jäger, but I don't buy it. Like, yeah. It's not in my house.
I'm
a responsible person on Jäger.
I usually have a bottle in my freezer at all times, just in case. But I'll go months and not even think about it. And then... You really, when Richie comes over, I drink it. That's the only time.
I can't imagine.
But if I'm at a comedy club weekend, I'll do shots of Jäger, because if people want to buy you shots, I'll just go to Jäger. Because I feel like I can, I'm just like, they always want to do Jameson and stuff. And I'm like, I know I can do way more Jäger than I can Jameson.
Do you remember, we were at I was opening for Todd up at a bar, I think it was in Fort Wayne. And this guy, after the show, like, we had to drive home. Like, we got to go home after the show. You had your podcast in the morning. Like, we couldn't party.
Right.
And this guy came up with rocks glasses full of bourbon and, like, wanted to shoot him. Like, it was, and was highly offended that we didn't. Yeah. It's like, dude. Like, that's not a shot. That's a drink that you want us to know.
Yeah.
I mean, you guys probably avoided a murder that night.
Right. Oh, yeah. If I would have shot that, jail, instant jail. Just put me right in jail. Before I drink this now, just go ahead and call the police and tell them to come get me.
Here comes the Todimal. Here it comes.
Let's just save them having to stop me on the way, huh? Yeah. That's a cool... That's Alex Price's books. He books that venue. It's a cool
Tiger Room.
The Tiger Room, yeah. Very cool place.
at your shows, and I open for Todd a lot and for Donnie Baker a lot, and people, both crowds love to drink and both want to buy you shots, and it's like, and get very offended when you don't want to do shots with them, and it's like, you're the 19th person who wants to do a shot with me tonight. Like, yeah. I'm a human being. Yeah. I don't want to die tonight. I have to wait. When I wake up in the morning, I have to drive home and take care of children all day. Right. I don't want 19 shots tonight. I love you all, but I can't do 19 shots tonight.
Especially because we do so many one-nighters. It's like, usually it's not like we're there all weekend and this is Friday night and we can sleep into one the next day. It's like, no, we go back in the real world tomorrow.
The worst thing that can happen too is somebody like has enough clout to get a shot sent up on stage. Yeah. And then next thing, everyone else is like, oh, I'm going to send them one. And then you've done five shots in about 35 minutes. And you're like, all right, let's power this home so I can go be hot in the bathroom.
I'm not trying to brag, but I was doing a show down in French Lick, Indiana. And I had put my family up at the, they have like an indoor water park down there. And, so I'm like, I'm going to bring the family down. They're going to water park. I'm going to do my show. I'll break even on the hotel and the show and the food. So we'll call it, it's like a free vacation for the family.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I go to this show and it was one of those. And at one time there were five people standing in front of the stage, all holding a shot, and me just go down the line, boom, 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 boom,
boom. Oh my God.
And I do great. I have a great show, I think. Afterwards,
Jeff, you did 9 minutes.
Well, afterwards, this guy comes up to me and he goes, I've never seen anyone do that many shots in one night, let alone on stage and still be able to talk. And I'm like, yeah, that's how I can do it, son. And so I'm walking back to the big Splash Fun Park, and it's down this kind of like windy road, and this car pulls up next to me and they go, hey man, you want to ride back to your hotel? And I'm like, nah man, I'm fucking good. Like, I gotta work this fucker. I am so hammered. I gotta work this. And they're like, dude, we were at the show. Get in the car. We're gonna give you a ride before you fall out into traffic.
Oh my gosh.
So I get back to my hotel room, and I'm not proud of this, but I come in and I walk in, and my family's all sitting there, eating pizza or whatever, watching TV. And all of a sudden, my girlfriend just goes, have a good show? And I was like, yeah. And she goes, I can smell. And I was like, oh, that bad. And the kids were like, are you drunk? And I'm like, maybe a little bit. Totally.
Austin, were you at Morty's that night that I chugged that entire box of wine?
No, I'm glad I wasn't. Jesus.
Dude, it was...
What?
Sean Latham used to run this weekly show, the Sean Latham Show, late night with Sean Latham or something like that. It was a real late show. Like, I think it might have been late on Thursday night or no, Friday night. Yeah, you did it before.
Yeah.
And we, something happened where somebody had, one of the guests had a box of red, like thick, cheap red wine. And they also had this big container up there for some reason. It held the entire box of wine, and they were trying to get me to chug it. And for, they're like, oh, you'll do it for $50. And we're trying to get people in the crowd to do it. And then like kind of my ego took over and I'm like, well, I'm not gonna make me any money, but I was like, let's see how much money we can make for the staff, for the servers. And then also in my head, I was like, because I won't give up if it's somebody else's money. I won't get all the way through that if it's just money for me. Cause I don't want it that bad. So we get up to like $700-$800 from the crowd. Cause you got dudes who are like, I'll give 200. So now I'm like, this is so much money for the servers. I have to accomplish this.
Yeah.
So they pour it into the thing and I chug it. It took a while, but I get it all down and I get off. I just, I like slam dunk it, and I hold up my hands, and the place is going crazy. And I walk off the stage, and I'm high-fiving people all the way down, go right out the double doors, into the lobby, into the bathroom, and just throw my guts up. Like, it was that. And I felt it instantly. I held that down through the wall, you know, so I still looked cool. And then as soon as I got in the bathroom, it was, and Bowers is in there with the door open, just, just cackling, laughing.
Can you imagine if you would have gone off mid strut out?
Yeah,
first high five projectile in the face.
Just can't throw up on any people in the crowd.
I think I gave up Jaeger that the last. I don't know if it was the last time. Was that Wiley's? But you and Bowers and some other people showed up after the late show Saturday to drink.
Uh-huh.
And I don't want to disparage them, so I'm not going to say how or why, but Bailey threw up on my leg. Yes. Okay, here's right. Bailey was laying on the couch and pants. He didn't look good. And I literally saw him and he looked bad. And I walked up to him and go, "Hey, Bailey, are you doing all right?" And he just goes, just threw up on my leg. And then I go into the bathroom trying to clean vomit off of my pants leg, and I get sick from that. And so then I threw up, and then I'm done at this point. Yeah. I've been doing one hitters in the parking lot. I just shouldn't have been drinking at all.
And it was a brand new green room too. I think that might have been the first full weekend after
weekend, and Bailey threw up on the floor, and pretty he got the couch a little bit
that
too.
That new couch
and my leg. So that really sucked. But the Uber driver was really cool. He didn't really care about me smelling like vomit and passing out.
Oh, that's Dayton
in the front seat of his car.
Dude, is that the worst when you black out in a fucking Uber? Like, it's so embarrassing when you get up out, you're like, "Oh, we're here," and they have to wake you up, and you're like, "Oh shit, now I gotta act like I got my shit together," which in no way you look, there's no way to look good at this point. You're like,
"You're a degenerate.
I'm a miserable piece of shit. I'm sorry."
You gotta pull your pants back on, climb out of the car. So awkward. Jess, have you ever thrown up on anyone? Anyone throw up on you?
I probably did back on that field trip incident because I blacked out. It's the only time I ever blacked out. I missed like a half my day, but whatever. I'm sure there was some angry people. But how
about Donnie? Is Donnie a puker?
He is. He's gotten intoxicated.
Hair back for him,
no, but he is so great. So I hate when I get to the point where I'm so drunk, because it's like I'm drinking, I'm a little buzzed, and the next thing I know, I'm freaking hammered where I'm like, uh-oh, and everything's just dizzy, and then I'm ready to puke. Uh-huh. But he is the best. He's like the mom, and he just like takes care, gets wash rags and stuff, and I'm like, I like this. I should do this all the time. When he does it, I'm like, well, I guess you drank too much.
Yeah.
I'm kind of a bitch. Dang.
That's how Marnie is to me, and I baby her too, but when I'm just a monster when I get that drunk. Have you ever, like, I was a big puker when I was younger, like high school and early college. And then now it takes a lot for me to puke. Like, it's, I almost have to make myself puke. And it just won't happen. But the worst puke I ever had.
Welcome to Roughneck Bragging Hour. On this hour, Todd McComas introduces some of his friends. We're going to be a logger who can strike a match on his teeth. Like an old weathered in glove, Todd.
Chris Bowers can't throw up either. One time we went on a binge. We were like 4 or 5 days running, you know. When my first summer of meeting Chris Bowers, when he owned Morty's and he had that big nice house and the pool and all that stuff, I didn't go to work for that whole summer. Like, I had so much vacation and comp time. Like, I literally only worked a few days, I think, the entire summer. I just stayed there the whole time. I'm like, this is awesome. And so we had been on such a run that we were miserably sick come showtime, and we weren't even performing. We were there hanging out, and I was like, dude, I feel like shit. And he's like, I do too. I'm like, I wish I could throw up. I know I'd feel better, but I just can't. He's like, I can't either. So we agreed to go out into the parking lot and try to make ourselves throw up, and we couldn't. And we got to laughing so hard at each other while trying, like we're watching each other try to get, and we get this giggling, laughing going on that I shit my pants. So, I didn't see that coming. So I'm like, it was just one of those shards. Like, I'm like, God damn it. Now I'm going to have to go fix this situation.
But did you feel better?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I definitely felt better.
Jesus.
But I learned chugging water helps puke because I don't usually puke unless I have to chug until I feel like my stomach's like, stop. But as soon it's the only way.
Why it happened to me, but it turned off. But when I was in the Marine Corps one time, we all went partying we were at Beaufort, South Carolina, and there was townies there, you know, and they liked the Marines. So we met these girls at a bar and we go back to their trailer and they're partying and they're like, hey, what y'all want to drink? And they got like, I'm right out of high school. I don't care. And I'm like, oh, you got Mad Dog? I'm like, hey. So my buddy had a bong in his Jeep. So he gets the bong out and they're like, you got beers? We'll bong some beers. And I was like, I'll bong that Mad Dog. So I bonged an entire fifth of Orange Mad Dog 2020.
Oh.
In like two gulps in. And then immediately I just explode projectile vomiting all over this girl. She had a white couch with real light car. I mean, I just destroyed this trailer. And she was like, motherfucker, get the fuck out of my trailer. Kicked us all out. All my friends were so pissed because they're like hoping that you were going to get laid or whatever. And I'm like, hey, it's a good story.
oh gosh, that hurts my stomach thinking about it.
18-year-old Marine Corps shenanigans.
It's crazy.
Hey, so I I've done the ask a cop thing to Todd, and like I need to keep my job, so I'm not gonna ask a cop this week. But instead I was like, hey internet, if you can ask a cool nerdy chick something, what would you ask her? And the internet did not let me down. Well, the internet let me down hugely, because some of the things that were asked, I would never ask Jessica ever in a million years.
Okay. Oh, I'm glad you met Jess. I thought this was a big setup. I was like,
who is the girl coming on?
So, because around the Bob and Tom show, Jess is like the resident geek, as what I guess Tom has. But to me, she's more like, she's smart. Like, she's more of a nerd than a geek. But so, and she's cool. So I was like, okay, here's what I thought would happen. A bunch of guys would be like, oh, I like cool nerdy chicks, but I've like, what's the best way to approach a cool nerdy chick? Or what's the best
question?
What don't I want to say to her? You know what I mean? Like, but unfortunately I got things like this. How freaky is Bandcamp? I don't even know if you ever played.
I didn't go to Bandcamp. I did play in the band fifth through eighth grade, clarinet, but no band camp. I went to church camp, and some of the kids at church camp can be ornery. How about that? Sneaking off into the woods, and you're like, how did they do that? They're supposed to be in their little dorm area, sweating in 120 degree.
They're drinking out of flasks. Yeah. They get fingered.
Although, this one is good from Ryan. How's the unicycle training coming?
Ooh.
Oh, well, I've been going to the gym and I've been on the rower, getting my legs stronger and my abs stronger before I actually hop up on the unicycle that I don't have yet. But
that's, you know what?
I gotta get strong.
The unicycle would be a good core workout, I bet.
It's
balance.
Yeah.
Yeah. You'd have to be ready.
Yeah. And I'm not. I would get on and be like, whoa. I'm all over.
What so else bad. Did they ask?
My favorite question, though, is from Jamie Carr, who asked, fuck, marry, kill, Picard, Kirk, and Spock.
Ooh. That's a great one.
Guys, come on, think about what you're going to pick as well. You got to pick. You got to play along, too.
Give them again.
Picard, Kirk, or Spock.
Okay.
You have to marry Picard because he's smart and he won't argue with you like Spock will. Like, I don't have time for that. So probably kill Spock, bless his heart. Oh. And then, you know, bang me some Kirk, some Shatner, classic Shatner.
Yeah.
Really? You would bang Shatner over Picard?
Well, if I'm married, I'm sure I'm going to bang him too. Huh? Because I've met Patrick Stewart and William Shatner, actually. And Patrick Stewart is so charming. He's like, well, hello. And he's just like, you know, all British. And you're like, huh. Hey, buddy. Hey, Pat. What's up? Oh, gosh.
How did you meet him?
I went to a Star Trek convention with my dad. It was I took him because he's the big Trekkie. Like, he is like, when he met Patrick Stewart, he was like, like, freaked out. And same thing. I took him to meet William Shatner. It was the 20th anniversary of TNG. The Next Generation. So the entire cast was there, like, doing a panel. And that was really cool to see. I think it was the 20th anniversary. It might have been 25th. I think of the year.
And you took your dad to this? Like,
I did.
That's awesome.
I'm pretty cool.
I like your choices, at least with Kirk. Like, you're not going to nail down Captain Kirk. You know what I mean?
No,
you're
married to that guy. He's a space scoundrel.
He's going to be over there fucking one of those blue ladies, you know, like on the side. You don't have to deal with that. You don't know why he's bringing into the bedroom from some other planet.
He's leaving discreet blue chew boxes on planets across the galaxy. He's got them delivered all over the planet.
Although Spock would probably, since he's so intelligent, you know, it's a... He'd probably actually be really good. No buttons to push.
His sex would be so logical.
That was my choice. It would be
on get him a book on how to do it right, and he'll run it by the numbers, and it'll be a dream. And he's probably not going to lie to you. At least he'll never lie to you.
That's true.
Yeah, he can't.
I can never win an argument, though. But it'd probably be like Dr. Manhattan, the intercourse.
I would marry Picard too, and then just bone down with Kirk. Just hit it and quit it. Just get it out of my system, you know.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And then you would kill Spock. Spock's dying in both of your guys' fantasies.
Bring him back. Didn't you see the third one?
Oh wait, no. I'd bone down Spock. I'd probably have sex with and kill Kirk.
I couldn't kill Spock. I love Spock too much. I don't think I would have it in me. Plus, he's Vulcan. He probably fucked me all up. You know what I mean? So I'd have to kill Kirk. He's got that clamp thing on the neck. The Vulcan.
Vulcan pinch.
Yeah. It's whatever grip.
Pressure point deal.
Mm-hmm. Imagine what he could do to your prostate.
Whoa.
He would make everybody come at the same time.
Everybody touch hands.
Let's get some
space in the circle, guys. Let's not spray.
I'm killing Shatner all day long.
Yeah.
I don't care who I fuck and who I marry. I just want to kill Shatner.
Yeah, he's cocky.
So, did you meet Shatner?
I did, actually twice.
Shatner or Picard?
The first time I met Shatner, he was really, I think, hammered drunk. So he didn't say anything except for, thank you, hello, thank you. It was really just, Picard was so cool to meet because he was just so proper. Mm-hmm. And it's like, holy crap, this is happening. The second time, William Shatner was very flattering. Like, he's like, oh, you have beautiful eyes. Oh, such a lovely. And I'm like, thank you. Thanks, Bill.
Do you think Picard still does conventions? Because he's made a mint off X-Men.
Oh, he doesn't have to do conventions.
Yeah.
I don't think has to, but he probably just wanted to since the entire cast did that one.
Yeah.
All kind of came back for it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think on some of those bigger stars, too, I don't think it happened with Elizabeth Hurley, but I think some of those use those opportunities to, like, or Berkeley or whatever.
We're disparaging Elizabeths left and right on
we're getting killing all the Elizabeths.
No go zone
for Elizabeth Banks or whatever her name is. Yeah.
You don't know, like, he may have donated all of that money to, like, his favorite charity. Like, oh, here's a great opportunity. I get to go for a weekend. everybody dotes over me and I just donate all this money to, you know, my kids' school or to, you know, you never know.
You actually use it. 100%. He probably did, Patrick Stewart. Andrew Lincoln from The Walking Dead, he played Rick Grimes. That's what he would do. He would never do the Walker Stalker cons. He would go to the London one like one day because he lived in London. And he would do the one in Atlanta for one day only, basically, because he valued his weekends with his family. So he didn't want to give that up to anything. But he would do Sunday, do a panel, and then all the proceeds for like autographs and photos went towards a charity. He didn't get a dime.
All right.
Like,
that's cool.
Like the coolest guy. I don't know him, but it seems like everything he does is genuine. He's not, you know what I mean? It doesn't feel dirty at all. It's just like
no dimes, Grimes.
Yeah.
That is, you'd have to feel pretty good. Be like, I think I'm just going to pop down to the corner and make, you know, 200 grand real quick for charity.
Yeah, I know. What a powerful position. That would make you feel good.
How much money would you have before you stopped and just started giving the rest of it away? Like, would you have to have $20 million before you like, oh, I don't. From now on, just every money I get, I'm just donating to fucking things I like.
So is the idea for you to have enough so you don't have to work anymore?
No, I'm just saying for you, how much would you have to have personally to where you're like, this is plenty of money. I'm obnoxious if I keep another cent that I make. You know, like Bezos is almost worth $1 zillion now.
Yeah.
Like at what point do you just go, every dollar I make from here on out just goes to charity. I'm not fucking, or to my employees or to anything other than my own fucking personal bank account.
Yeah. After a while, like money can't really even mean anything to him anymore. Like,
right. How much for you personally would you need? Like $10 million? And then you're like, from now on, I'm giving $10 million is enough to take care of me and my grandbabies and give them a good life. From now on, I'm giving the rest of it away.
I would say $30 million.
Jesus Christ.
To give it to stop collecting any money at all. Because I would give
his shed. He's but got high taste.
Because I know I would give like a third of it to my parents and my sister's family and my son. So I need $10 million and to last me the rest of my life. And then so $30 million sets me and everybody super, super well around me. And then after it's anything else that comes in, I could be really charitable outside the inner circle.
You got to put a he shed, she shed at all your properties, which there's
open a chain of
dollars right there.
Mm-hmm. I have to have a house on every coast. And
in the world? No.
Just here.
The Nova Scotia house. I don't know what accent that was. That was terrible.
The Nova Scotia house.
Nova Scotia. Oh, they're not like us. I thought they'd be different here. No, we're just Canadian.
You sound like Terry Garr in Young Frankenstein. When you
love it. Oh, God.
Well, this has been fun, guys. We'll do it again next week. What do you say? Sounds good.
Yeah.
Do you guys have anything? I got to plug my show, June 26th, 27th, Appleton, Wisconsin, Skyline Comedy Club. It's on my website calendar. Buy tickets, only 60 per show. So buy now. You guys got anything you want to push out?
Just great being here. Really.
Great being here. Yeah. Watch the Bob and Tom show on YouTube. Yeah. Help blow up that YouTube. It's doing great. Listen to it when you're in your car, if it's in your area. And everybody, if you haven't, check out Evening with the Authors. Austin and the crew crush it. Isaac Lambert, too. Outside of Austin, specifically focus on Isaac Lambert. He was on here with us one episode. He's put out some great shit.
I have to say this about Isaac. I truly love, honestly, I've been working with all those guys and authors for such a long time. Everyone has such a specific strong set. But until I met Isaac Lambert, I'd never met a person that most people do not know him, but they think that he is actually four different weird people who live in the city.
He's so good at these characters.
Tell you what he looked like, but they know they could spot every one of his characters that he plays. I mean, he's like bald, right? Uh-huh. And then when he shaves, he keeps like the body hair of like an international assassin, basically. And mustaches endlessly. It's insane. But he does pretty brilliant stuff for sure. Yeah. We just did a video, an anniversary video. Go check it out.
Yeah, that's what you need to check out. There you go. Yeah. All right. Other than that, hey, rate and review. We like to read the reviews. I do, and it helps out. And use the promo code FUNTOWN at BlueChew.com. You got to try it and report back. I want to know. Tag us in it. Let us know how that night went.
Yeah.
Champ.
No pictures.
No pictures.
Please, no pictures.
We'll just take your word for it.
Just tag us in it. Post a nice watercolor to sort of give us a feeling on how it went. How about that?
Mm-hmm.
Watercolors for
and tag Blue Chew in it and then hashtag the champ.
Yeah.
That's all we need. All right. We're out.